You are listening to the News Project Podcast for the week of October 26th, 2020, brought to you by GNAT TV. This podcast brings you these stories. Winhall explores school budget, the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, and shop early, safe, and local.
On Tuesday, October 20th, Winhall's three-member school board met with BRSU School Superintendent Randy Lowe and the Supervisory Union's business manager, Sue Wilborn, to review some sobering numbers related to their projected school budget looking forward to next year. School officials were expecting an uptick in school enrollments, pandemic-related or not, and indeed there will be 29 more students within the district beyond what they initially forecast when they were putting together a budget around this time last year. Winhall doesn't operate its own school, and as a school choice sending district is obligated to cover the tuition costs to a variety of public and independent schools. So an uptick in enrollment and tuition costs can't be easily offset by trimming something elsewhere in the school budget. It's still early, and many numbers aren't finalized yet that could impact the final shape of the eventual school budget. Sue Wilborn, the BRSU's business manager, presented five possible scenarios, varying on where the district looked to for additional sources of funding, which include taking out a three-year, low-interest bank loan, accessing COVID relief fund revenue, which could bring in up to $178,000, or dipping into reserve funds. The scenarios envisioned tax increases ranging from 20 cents to 60 cents per $100 of assessed property value. She described the situation for us in a little more detail in a follow-up conversation.
What's happening right now is that there's an influx of students this year, a very large influx of students, as you said, about 29 kids over budget right now. And so not only are we in going to find ourselves in a deficit position at the end of this year because of those additional students that we have to pay for tuition this year, but we also have to pay for those students next year. And the way the tax rate formula works is it's based on your education spending per equalized pupil. And so our education spending itself is going to go up because we have those additional students, and our equalized pupils is not going to go up at the same rate as our education spending because it's a two-year average formula. So there are other factors that go into the equalized pupil formula, but the gist of it is your enrollment averaged over 2 years is the bulk of what makes up that number. And so we have increased kids this year that we get to count, but those kids are not in year one of that average calculation because they weren't there last year. So equalized pupils will go up because those kids are here, but it won't go up as fast as the education spending number is going to go up, which means our tax rate is going to be a little higher. And then the other thing that Winhall has to deal with is the penalty. You know, we're always hovering around that place where we have excess spending, which means that our education spending per equalized pupil exceeds the state threshold. And when we do that, we basically get penalized on the tax rate. So we have all of these factors contributing to making that tax rate go up a little faster, a little sooner.
Winhall's problem derives in part from its exposure to state limits on school spending. When a school district spends above an allowed limit, it enters a so-called penalty zone and has excess spending. This excess amount is added as a penalty to the education spending per equalized pupil figure before calculating the tax rate. But when a deficit from the prior year is solely caused by students moving into the district after finalizing the budget and is included in the education spending figure, the deficit can be excluded from the penalty calculation. Jennifer Samuelson, the chairwoman of Winhall's school board, discussed their situation with us last Friday.
When we passed our budget in March, we anticipated 15 ghost students. And if I'm doing the math properly, I think we have 44, I think, that showed up. So we are over budget by 29 kids that we did not anticipate. So, to my knowledge, most of those extra kids are comprised of families who moved here you know, after we passed our budget in March, for sure, many of them seem to be from places as far away as Texas and California and Florida, as well as New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts. And it does appear that they have come here in response to the pandemic.
So it sounds like you have three main routes that you can take to kind of avoid the worst case scenarios or whatever. The CRF funds, taking out a low interest loan and dipping into some reserve funds, I gather.
Yeah, and certainly there is a possibility for, I mean, certainly anyone who has children attending schools in Wynn Hall, or Wynn Hall residents who are, have children attending school, they are certainly welcome to not submit the paperwork to the BRSU. You know, if people felt that they had the means to pay for their child to go to school and didn't need to request the tuition assistance from the BRSU, that would be an option. Certainly schools could also elect to not charge the BRSU the full amount that they would otherwise be entitled to. I know some of those schools have received PPP funds. So presumably they might have extra. I mean, I fully realize that there has been additional expenses for supplies, you know, cleaning equipment, sanitation, you know, all of that. But, you know, to the extent that there were extra PPP funds that were around, that would be something that would be, you know, maybe an easy way for a school to not ask the BRSU for the full amount. But I don't know. I mean, it's up to them and up to families and up to the school board ultimately to figure out how to solve this problem.
So have you had any further conversations with some of the independent schools about maybe working out some kind of an arrangement to either spread out the costs or
I have
a hit in some way or another?
Yeah. And I think, you know, the best thing I can say is that they're in process to varying degrees, so I don't have an answer on that.
Mm-hmm. The situation is similar in some ways to that faced 2 years ago by the school board, when a similar situation presented itself and a large tax increase loomed. At that time, ways were found to minimize the impact by working out agreements with some of the independent schools, among them Burn Burton Academy, which held its tuition increase stable, causing a memorable scene at the school district's town meeting.
What we're going to do is accept the statewide average from Wynn Hall this year.
And even though the real estate market is hot right now in Wynn Hall, the increased number of sales and the revenue from that is a separate pot of money from that which comes from the state's education fund. So the two pieces, the property values and the school district tax rate, don't offset each other. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
Hey folks, Hans from GNAT News. Today I'm here in Dorset, and I've got a question on my mind, and that is, what is the Dolly Parton Imagination Library? Behind me is Nicole of Dorset, and she's going to give us all the details, so let's go talk to her. Hi, Nicole. Thanks so much for having us here today.
Thank you.
And, those words, Dolly Parton and the Imagination Library. I've got that all right, right?
Yep.
Okay, really cool. What is it?
So Shire Kids is the local nonprofit that is the sponsor for Dolly Parton's Imagination Library here in Bennington County in the town of Danby.
Got it.
So it's a free book gifting program that mails a new age-appropriate book every month to the enrolled children's home until their fifth birthday. So the books that come are, like I said, they're age appropriate and there's no cost to the families enrolled. It's a free program for the children and for their parents, for their families.
So you're almost saying that if I'm a child, every month from 0 to 5,
yes,
this wonderful gift is going to come with my name on it in the mail?
In the mail, yep, with your name on it, all for you to keep. Children that are enrolled at birth in the Imagination Library will have a home library of 60 books from the Imagination Library when they graduate.
You know, how did you even find out about this?
So before my family moved to Vermont, we lived in Washington, D.C., and the program's available in Washington, D.C. So it was started by Dolly in 1995 in Tennessee, in her home state, her home county, and then her home state. And eventually, the Dolly Parton Foundation replicated the program so it could be brought to any community in the United States and actually four other countries. It's available now as well, Canada, the UK, Ireland, and Australia. But that local community has to have a nonprofit who runs it. So they enroll the children, they do all the administrative work, the data input, data management, updating, book orders, you know, all the work for your local program. But the books do come from, they're all produced for the Imagination Library programs, and so that is managed by the Dolly Parton Foundation. So I mentioned it was available in D.C.,
yeah,
where we used to live. And so I was just a mom with a new baby, and my neighbor told me about it, and so I enrolled my child. And for a year and a half or so, we just got free books in the mail every month, and it was amazing. And they were some really fun books that we still have today, and books that I may not have picked at the bookstore, at the library, so I really love the variety of books that come. We moved to Vermont, and I learned that the program wasn't available here.
Right. I'd never heard about it.
So it didn't have a local sponsor. It is available in some other communities around Vermont. Addison County Readers up in Middlebury, they've been in existence for about 10 years, so they've had the program. So, so I started looking it up and figuring out how it worked, and that was when I first realized how the Dolly Parton Foundation runs this program and that there is this local nonprofit that needs to run each individual program. So I started talking with, librarians, pediatricians, early education specialists, speech therapists, literacy nonprofits, just to get an understanding of like early childhood literacy in the area. And they all were very supportive of the program, but it is a big undertaking. So an existing nonprofit didn't want to bring it under their program, so that's when I decided to found Shire Kids.
If other counties saw this and people said yes, would you consider yourself a trainer? Could I contact you to...
I encourage everyone I talk to start this program. So especially,
yes, I agree.
I get inquiries from both parents in Windham County, Windsor County, Rutland County about the program from parents and also pediatricians. I've created a really great network of enrollment partners. So they're the ones that are in touch with these families on a regular basis. Gotcha. And so they sign up the children and send me the forms. And so I'll add the children into our program. And so after working with pediatricians that straddle those county lines, they're saying, you know, we would really love this program in Rutland or in Brattleboro, I'd strongly encourage it for any existing nonprofits that might want to.
It feels like a no-brainer. This should be a Vermont program.
Yes, something I've talked to the pediatricians and the social care workers about is that the program is unique in that way. That the book goes directly to the home every month for a sustained period of time. The longevity of the program, to have a book coming every month for 5 years is really impactful.
It's terrific. If I have two kids under the age of five, does that change things or?
No, each one is enrolled. So the books are age appropriate. So each year gets a different book. If your children are twins or if they were born in the same year, they would get the same book. But otherwise, they'd each be receiving their own age-appropriate book until they age out. One of our great supporters, she's a friend, had three children under five when we first started it. And so all of them were enrolled, and then the oldest one did turn five.
And if I was a dad enrolled in the program, how much are you going to charge me to do this?
It's free. So the program is completely free to the families enrolled. There's no cost. There never would be a cost. We don't ask the families for donations or anything like that. We very strongly want this to be a shared experience available to all, and there is no cost associated with it. We do fundraise regularly to support the program and to pay for it.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So Shire Kids does pay for the books that go out. That's part of the agreement. Is the local nonprofit pays for the books at a reduced rate that is negotiated by the Dolly Parton Foundation. So there is a low cost. It comes out to approximately $25 per child per year that's enrolled. And so back to that, we certainly would take a donation from anyone, of course, but we'll never ask families for those donations. That's the point of the program, is to be a free program for everyone to enjoy and just to encourage reading and literacy.
How long have you been doing the program?
So it started, we launched in July of 2019, so just it's over a year.
Right. And how many kids?
And we've enrolled 950 kids, and about 120 of those have aged out of the program or moved away. So our current enrollment, I think I checked this morning, was 841 children in Bennington. And just to put that in perspective, the census information that we were working with is that the total population of children from birth to five in Bennington County is 1,600 children. So we have enrolled over half of the children so far, which we went far beyond our plans or expectations in the first year.
I'm a six-year-old, and this wonderful thing has been going on for 5 years. Do you ever see the program
expand?
Do you ever see more work for yourself?
Yes, I do. And I actually was just reading about this week. So the Dolly Parton Foundation is piloting a program right now in Tennessee that does address the kindergarten through third grade, which is, you know, if you talk to any reading specialist or early education, that is so developmental in a child's learning to read, that kindergarten, first, second, and third grade. And so they are piloting a program that I'm sure won't be available to, we're not able to replicate it yet, but I have had that question from especially pediatricians and social care workers, is how do we support those older children and middle schoolers? That's another area where reading and continuing interest in learning and love of libraries during middle school is so important to, you know, get them ready for high school and really engage in learning.
What would you hope to see finally for this program? All the way up through 12th grade?
I'm focusing Shire Kids on what we've endeavored so far right now. I really want to have secure funding to make sure we can grow as much as we've grown in this 1 year without worry of being able to sustain the program. I think the next steps would be either working with nonprofits in our surrounding counties to initiate the programs there, because I see the need there and I hear about it all the time from both the parents and pediatricians, like I've mentioned. And then starting to address those older children, possibly. I mean, I haven't written our five-year plan yet, but it's formulating in my head and it'll hopefully be in there. But really just solidifying our funding for the Imagination Library in Bennington County is my day
in,
day
out.
Making
sure the magic never leaves.
Yes.
It's always there for us.
Yeah.
I got you. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. Any parting thoughts that you want to give?
Sign up if you have a child at home, if you're a parent, grandparent, if you have a child in your home, please register. You can go to the Shire Kids website, which is shirekidsvt.org, or directly on the Imagination Library website, which is imaginationlibrary.com.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Thank you so much, Nicole.
Thank you.
Shop early. Stay safe. Shop local. Those are the themes of a special shopping weekend experience being planned by local businesses and the Manchester Business Association to help merchants and shoppers alike navigate the unusual circumstances brought about by the COVID-19 pandemic. During the weekend of November 6th through 8th, many local businesses will be offering special deals and discounts as a way to encourage visitors and local residents alike to stop by and take advantage of bargains. Carrie McKinnon, the owner of Vermont Kitchen Supply, and Jackie Baker, co-owner of Mother Myrick's, the confectionery shop, met up a while ago with other local business owners to see if they could chart a course through the final months of the year, which typically are important ones in the run-up to the holiday season.
So far, we have about 40 businesses participating. It ranges from inns and restaurants to retail stores, some massage therapists, so some independent contractors as well. Everybody's offering some sort of a special.
That's right.
A discount.
Right.
Yep,
right. Coupons, even discounts on gift cards. So if people come in and they want to buy gift cards instead of the actual items, they can do that at some of the listed stores.
Right. And the Manchester Business Association will actually have a link on it, as will all of our individual businesses will be posting that same link, and it will link you to the list of participating merchants and businesses and show you what they're actually offering for that weekend.
The shop early message may sound familiar, since it also implies the opportunity to shop more than once. But that will take on extra resonance this year, since the supply chains are a lot less certain than normal, they said.
Driving force behind it is that, you know, in my industry, and Jackie has some good points too, in my industry, we're having a big problem getting product. There's a lot of companies that have closed, a lot of companies that aren't shipping very quickly, a lot of companies that are sold out of merchandise.
Right.
So right now is the time that my selection is the best, and I would love it to be that my regular customers would come and take advantage of some of those specials that we have right now.
This point was seconded by Chris Morrow of the Northshire Bookstore.
This is an abnormal year on many fronts. Obviously, COVID is number one, and most of our businesses just won't be able to accommodate the number of people that we normally get for the 2 weeks before Christmas. We're just going to be limiting the number of people in the stores. So we're just hoping to get the awareness of that out and to encourage people to plan ahead more this year and to come in early. You know, that weekend is just one part of what we're doing. You know, we have big signs up saying October is the new December. And as soon as November rolls around, we'll switch it to November is the new December. And anything we can do to get people in the bookstores and all the local stores, you know, before the crunch, in the weekdays, preferable to the weekends, and, you know, just in slower times so that everyone can stay safe and businesses can stay afloat.
The shop safe part needs little explanation, of course. Social distancing and mask wearing have been par for the course since the pandemic erupted on the scene last March. But shop local takes on added meaning as well, as online and mail order sales continue to absorb more consumer spending dollars, forcing local bricks and mortar businesses to continually adjust. The Manchester Business Association, an organization created a few years ago in the wake of the collapse of the former Manchester and Mountains Chamber of Commerce, is also involved. John Burnham, the association's executive director, describes their role.
Carrie reached out to me and we started chatting and and I said, this is an easy thing. You know, we actually, you know, we can help you create a design, a messaging. We can use our ManchesterVermont.com website to promote this event and also help with the outreach to local businesses and lodging establishments and services, and see if we can even increase the participation list of offers and so forth to make this a really extraordinary weekend for Manchester and the surrounding area as a whole. And that's how it all began, then I became involved. And now it's live on the website. If you go to ManchesterVermont.com and you look at our shop early, stay safe, shop local campaign that's out there for the weekend of November 6th through the 8th, you'll see all the participating businesses, and it's exciting. And more will join, actually. We're still working with some other businesses who are trying to create their offers. Will be added as we go along all the way up to November 6th.
You can visit ManchesterVermont.com for a list of the local shops and what they are offering that first weekend in November. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit GNAT.tv.